Let's stand together, take our Bibles, turn to James. We're going to have a brief message today. We're covering a lot of things in chapel. But I want to have you turn in your Bible to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art a doer of the law, not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time in your chapel today and in your house. We pray you'd bless this brief message and strengthen our faith as we preach about revival this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The prophet Hosea said in Hosea 10 and verse 12, sow to yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Our family are farmers in the state of Colorado, and during this season, they're involved in the process of tilling up ground and preparing the ground for the planting of the beans that will be harvested later in the summer. They're breaking up the fallow ground. And many times, revival does not come into our lives because there's a hard-heartedness. And because of that, the seed, when it falls, does not penetrate into the heart. And so God calls upon us to break up the fallow ground. The fallow ground may be found in your life today. There may be in your heart a hard-heartedness, even as I stand here to speak this morning. The Bible is very clear that if we're going to see God, we must have a pure heart. We must have a prepared heart. The Bible is furthermore very clear that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so today in this room, there are those whose heart is readily receiving what's being said this morning and what's being taught from the Word of God. There are others who are not receiving as well because their heart is hardened towards the things of the Lord. One thing is certain. It is the will of God that every single student here has a heart that is receptive and a heart that is revived with the Lord. How does that happen? I want to give you three thoughts today, not to think about with respect to the college or your dorm, but for yourself. And I want you to take note of these from the Scripture. If you're going to break up the fallow ground and know what revival really is all about, you must first personally have a heart of submission. A heart of submission. The Bible says in verse 7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. We must be a people that come into this chapel and say, Lord, whatever you want me to have changed in my life, I want you to have your will and have your way. I submit myself to you. Last night in the grief class, I was speaking to probably 60 people, probably 20 widows. Their husbands have died recently. And one of the things I was teaching them from the book of James was found in chapter 1 where the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. And the word let means to yield or to allow God's work to be completed. And sometimes, as in the case of these widows, God's ordained work right now in their life involved a great loss. Sometimes with you, it may not be the loss of someone's life, but it might be the loss of sin. It might be repenting from sin. It might be the loss of a possession. It might be some other trial. I don't know what rearranging God wants to do. I just know that you and I need to be submitted to whatever He says needs to happen in our life. Ephesians 6 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I've grown up in ministry all my life. I've been involved in Christian education now for over 40 years. And I have seen in my own life, and I've seen in the life of others at times, this tendency to do just enough to look good in the eyes of men. Part of our human nature wants to do damage control and wants to just have an image that looks right. And it's good to shine your shoes and comb your hair and such things, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we kind of put on a show. And if you heard what it says in Ephesians 6, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. How many of you have ever heard that term? He's a man pleaser. Have you ever heard that term? Right? Well, guess what? It's not new with somebody's blog, and it's not new with some recent book. It actually was written in the Bible 2,000 years ago. Being a man pleaser is the tendency of the flesh. But when you are truly submissive, it's not just about submitting in the moment to Dr. Getch, for example. It's about truly from the heart, doing the will of God from the heart, Ephesians 6:6. We must submit to the Lord. If we want revival, there must be submission to the Lord, and there must be a resisting of Satan. Now, the Bible says this clearly as we consider God's command for us in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. One thing you're going to find, students, if you haven't found it already, when you're in the ministry and you're working toward a revival meeting or the hunt or Resurrection Sunday or some major offensive on Satan's territory, how many of you know Satan does not want one 10-year-old boy to get saved tomorrow? And you're going to learn that Satan will always fight during these key moments of spiritual warfare. And that's why we must resist the devil, because he would like to fight against any one of us and bring sin into our lives so that we do not have the fullness of the Spirit, so that we are limited in our ability to powerfully teach and preach and witness for the Lord. And so we must in our lives, first and foremost, have a heart of submission, that is, submitted to God and resisting the devil. Secondly, when revival comes, you'll find a heart of submission on the part of the church. Secondly, you'll find a hunger for purity. You'll find a hunger for purity. The Bible says in verse number 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, the Scriptures teach us that we are to come to the Lord with what is called cleansed hands. I like the story of the little boy that got up at 8 o'clock one morning. He was filthy, head to toe he was filthy. And his mother said, Johnny, how did you get so dirty? How can this be at this time in the morning? He said, oh, it was easy, Mom. I went to bed this way. There's a lot of Christians that live their Christian life that way. They never repent. They never say, I'm sorry. They never really get honest with God. They just go to bed again with sin and get up with the same sin over and over and over again. The Bible says we're to cleanse our hands. The analogy here, perhaps a picture of the Old Testament priest prior to administering the sacrifices in the temple. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, there's a misconception in the church today. The misconception is that we can add Christ to our lives without subtracting sin. And the fact of the matter is that turning, the Bible says of the Thessalonians when they were saved, they turned to God, but they turned at the same time from their idols. And sometimes those idols want to creep back in, and that's why repentance is necessary, not only when we turn to Christ, but also throughout the Christian life, that we would have a heart that's honest with God. You see, the world wants a so-called change of beliefs without a change in behavior, but God wants to see our lives and the behavior of our life changing as well. And how many of you are thankful for 1 John 1:9? That if we, what? Confess our sin. He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us. So we must come with a cleansed hand. And we must come before Him with a pure heart. The Bible says in verse 8, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I love the story of Samuel's choosing of David in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said unto Samuel concerning the elder brothers, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Revival comes when there is a heart of submission, when there is a heart of purity. Thirdly, revival comes when there is a heart of humility. A heart of humility. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. I suppose there's a balance for this because, yes, we have fun in chapel. Yes, we have fun on the campus. We have games. We have skits. All those things. But there should be some times when this is not the time for frivolity. This is the time to get serious with God. Revival doesn't come, and we're seeing this more and more in the modern church with skits and humor and Christian comedy and all this type of stuff. Revival comes when the Word of God is obeyed, when we truly humble ourselves before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you've heard it before. If, what's the next two words say? My people. Say it with me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. This is not, look it, I can't grab you by the collar and make you get right with God. None of us can make someone else get right with God. You can put on the face of a Pharisee and you can demand this and that and you can try to manipulate this and that and tell someone this or that. First of all, your primary responsibility, as with the Apostle Paul, as he told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Secondly, you cannot force someone to be right with God. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will bring you to a place of humility. Humble yourself and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, in the Bible, God honors holiness. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. God honors holiness. God honors humility. God is looking for people with a heart of humility. George Washington Carver, the great scientist who developed hundreds of products that are useful to this very day, he did so in many ways using the peanut, literally using the peanut for his experiments. And he said, when I was young, I said to God, God, tell me the mystery of the universe. But God answered, that knowledge is reserved for me alone. So I said, God, tell me the mystery of the peanut. Then God said, well, George, that's more nearly your size. And he told me. We just need to learn how to humble ourselves before the Lord. Winston Churchill was once asked, doesn't it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, so many people want to come and hear you give the speech? He said, it's quite flattering, but whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big. In other words, don't get too overly impressed with your righteousness, with your talent, with your ability. Always remember that you and I are but sinners saved by the grace of God. Revival comes when people are submissive. Revival comes when people are seeking God in purity. And revival comes when people have a spirit of humility toward the Lord.